Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I just have to just smile a little bit, maybe a little laughter, because I know that you can hear the pages turning in the background, which is really okay. Those are Bible pages turning. And I tell you what, man, we've got a topic today that, you would want to keep making sure you know as much as possible. We're going to be talking about recognizing spiritual warfare in our lives and what do we do with that. I can tell you right now, we're not going to have enough time to be able to deal with so many aspects of it, but we're going to talk about recognizing it and what the best thing is to do about that. But anyway, in the studio with me, doing an awful lot of study and doing an awful lot of a lot of effort to bring the answers to this to us, Duke is in the studio. Good to have you, brother.
It is good to be here, and I hope you can hear those pages turning.
Yes, we know that, none of us have it all together by heart, and we're not professional theologians. And
really? I thought you'd memorize this whole thing by now.
I know how to spell Bible.
I mean, there's only 66
forward
books.
And backward. How's that? Does that help?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
But anyway, so we always like to kind of kick things off. Welcome, man. I'm glad you're here with me. Can't do this by myself. How about a little encouragement for these guys, and then we can get right into this.
Well, I do have an encouragement, and it showed up last night as a reminder.
Okay.
As I was doing the Men's Fellowship of Band of Brothers, I chose to share a Francis Chan YouTube video of a teaching on discipleship. And one of the things that struck me about that, and even this morning as I was driving here, was what an encouragement that was to receive that word from another source. That is, instead of the every Sunday pulpit message and maybe some fellowship the guys have got, what struck me, Raul, was the resources that are available out there are just endless. Mm-hmm. So, and I, the encouragement, I guess, was the analogy of I want to overcome the struggles of this world. I want to draw nearer to God in all that I do. But, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that if I don't stay in the Word in, let's say, many different ways. Kind of like going to the gym. I can have all the great intentions, and maybe I'll have a spurt or two, but you and I know that there's not longevity in a good workout program unless you're doing it fairly regularly.
Yes.
And have, let's say, everything from dumbbells to a treadmill to whatever it might be that is what you're working on at that time in your life. Scripture's the same way.
Yes.
I thought, you know what, I can go online. I can find so many ways to be encouraged by testimonies, mm-hmm, and examples. You just go to YouTube and Google it, and you'll sit there for hours listening to the guys with stories of how they overcome and what you can do the same. So mm-hmm, that, I guess the endless resources was so encouraging to me.
Yeah. And one of the key things, I think, to anything that we're the Word of God comes to us, the application of looking at it through a different set of eyes, so to speak, or eyeglasses, what have you. What it really comes down to is that faith without works is dead, of actually being courageous enough to apply this stuff into our lives. If we don't apply it into our lives, nothing happens. And sometimes that's just good enough for some guys, where they just sit back and just say, you know what, this is okay. Me just going to church on Sunday and hearing it from the pastor or whoever's preaching, that's good. That's all I need right there, you know? Yeah. And it's so much more than that. Because, brother, if like anything else, we come to find out that there are things that we think are unique to us, and that's one of the lies that the enemy gives us. So we don't bother dealing or going to anybody else because we don't want to show weakness. And little did I realize that it was through my weakness, that's where God's power is perfected, when I admit that. And then all of a sudden, what I thought was weak becomes powerful, and it's not my power, it's His. So anyway, there's some good encouragement, man. Be courageous and move forward and put this stuff into action.
Amen. And, action. That's the key.
Yep.
How many times have we said, oh, man, I gotta get in better shape, or I got to start running, or I got to start bicycling or something. So what happens when year after year you go by and you keep saying that and you never do it?
Well, you get better at saying it.
Yeah. Let's go buy a better couch. This one's got a big sag in the middle of where I've been sitting. Get off the couch.
You know, Nike had a little thing that I think is so, you know, they're, what they say all the time with their stuff, just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. And you know what? God will actually show more of who He is as a result of it. So,
amen.
Part of what we're going to talk about here, let's just segue right into this deal on spiritual warfare, okay, which has to do with the devil, Satan, the enemy.
The enemy, yes.
You know, the one who is, he has many names and everything, and he is a fallen angel, okay, and he took a whole bunch of angels with him as they came down. He's like, you know, like lightning, angel of light, you know, and
you could say he has an army.
He does, and he actually showed himself first, I think, in the Bible, according to that, in the Garden of Eden, where he was actually swayed Eve into believing that what she was told by God may not necessarily be true, and as a result of that, we have the fall of man. And
that's where this idea of what we'll label spiritual warfare comes from, because we know that there's the scriptures that say that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but principalities, and we'll be referring to that scripture. And having that mindset, knowing that in advance, it prepares you for battle. And, you know, and I used to wonder how come I would go Sunday to Sunday and still seem to have problems. Mm-hmm. That is, I would throughout the week, I go, wait a minute, the pastor said that if I did this, my path would be better, my burden would be lighter, and oh yeah, I'm supposed to pray. In other words, I was getting these pieces and I was applying little pieces here or there. It kind of like going into a full wage war with maybe a handgun.
Yeah.
Instead of some good armor and some grenades and and an Uzi or what have you. Right?
Well, little do we realize, like anything else, you know, sometimes we can be induced into believing something that isn't necessarily true, but it sounds good, okay? And this is what Satan does. I mean, you and I have both been in sales. We have backgrounds in sales. And we know that sometimes the way that you present something, the way that you bring it, so that it actually applies to that individual's life, one they can connect with and say, yes, this is what it's all about. Yes, I do love the color red. Yes, I think it's great. And, you know, well, if I could find a red one for you, would this work for you? And, oh, absolutely, you know. And so anyway, my point is that the enemy works the same way. You know, he comes across with any lie necessary to be able to lure you into believing what he's got is what's best for you. And it's not going to cost you very much. And it's not going to mean much to you. So be careful when you start buying some of those brand new cars for 72 months of payments. Wow, that's pretty low. That's really good. It's anyway, a little tidbit there. But anyway, but to really what it comes down to is that he blinds us. Okay, he blinds our minds from the light of the gospel, okay, of Jesus Christ. It takes us away.
Well, and the scary part of that is how subtle, how it just seems to be okay, I'm okay, you're okay. That kind of, that I don't want to rub anybody the wrong way by being too godly in that,
right.
that whole picture. And I think that ushers in this almost a feeling of complacency. Mm-hmm. Well, as long as I'm in the Word, as long as I do a little, as long as I, it's kind of like we're putting that idea of God on the back burner because what's more important?
Right.
My job, my car, my whatever it might be, my boat, my relationship, and it's backwards.
Right.
It is so backwards, and Satan is so stealthy. It's kind of like working with what an undercover agent might do. Mm-hmm. He'd pretend to be your buddy, mm-hmm. but really he's feeding information to the demons on how they can strategize and take you down.
Right, right. The thing is that it starts in our head. We start to hear these things, and it isn't necessarily that we hear Satan talking to us. It comes sometimes just from others who are, in some cases, luring us into certain things of sin or satisfaction or self-gratification, things that we believe that, man, I would love to be able to feel like that. I would love to be able to have that. That would make me feel, you know, whatever, okay? Right. And it's usually a positive thing, and that's where you sit there and go, and this can be yours for nothing except you just saying, okay, or whatever it is. So it's little from us to be able to receive something. So if it sounds good and looks good, how's
that's
that?
That's looks like a duck, walks like a duck, yeah. Probably quacks like a duck.
Probably is a duck. And yeah. So the fact is, I guess maybe what I'm saying is that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that is something that we don't want to hear because we so believe that, man, I deserve. I've been working hard at trying to just take care of the family or take care of my life and going to school and taking care of the things or, you know, working as many years as I've been working and I've got children or they're getting out of grade school, going into high school, pretty soon to college. I got to keep working hard and do more things. And I need rest every now and then. So I need to have my boat and to be able to go do these things, or I need to be able to have this type of vacation to be able, and I need to be able to drink because it makes me feel comfortable and at ease and I can rest. You know, I can't afford those big vacations, but I can do this. And wow, in our state, they now legalized marijuana. So I can actually buy dope legally and be able to smoke some of that and just kind of ease back and just enjoy life, you know? Wow. You know,
And all the things that you just described are of the world.
Yes.
That I want this because it makes me feel good. If I have this, I'll be a better person. So when does it become where we're able to stand and say, you know what, it would feel good to go fellowship with my brother. It would be good if I was part of the church group going on that mission trip. Or in other words, the ways that you find that joy or that, oh, this is going to be cool, I found turned around. I found that I used to think that way, that all of my pleasures and my responsibilities and the things I worked hard for, these were all things that I was dutiful in doing because they brought me this joy, happiness, or I could sit on the couch and relax and watch TV, whatever. That was my perception of a joyful life. Less ripples,
yes.
Success, and then I got revealed to me mm-hmm. where the real joy and the real love, the depth of a relationship with your wife that you didn't know you could have to your children, and found that now I start getting a little giddy and excited about doing something that has to do with expanding in God's kingdom and putting his word to use.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes that action.
You know, it's something that sometimes we think, hindsight is always 20/20, right?
Really?
We go back and we look and say, man, if I'd only done it differently, if only I'd seen, if only I'd known, okay? I would not have been put in this position where all of a sudden I lost this or I lost that. And I'm not talking about just money. It might be finances, but it could be integrity or how you feel about yourself and the way that God is intending you to go. You know, Paul reminds us throughout the New Testament. He mentions certain things to remind us that there are things that are going to take place. Okay, One of that you don't hear very often that I just, when I was doing a little bit of study on this and putting some of this together, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 and 21, okay, 1 Corinthians 10, 20 and 21, this is Paul speaking. It says, no, I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. So he goes on and he shares this with us, and he's letting us know, reminding us what Jesus has said in one of his parables, that you cannot follow both God and mammon. Okay? You can't have two masters. You're going to end up picking one and not being obedient to the other. It's going to be one or the other. And Paul's reminding us here, too, that, hey, do not imply that you think you can get away with this, you can do this, that you're different. And that's what the enemy's, part of the lie of the enemy, is that, hey, you're different, you can do this, it's okay, you'll be able to play the role over there, but come and enjoy this here, and nobody else is going to know about it, and it's okay, you know, don't, you deserve this, you worked hard, you're special. So just come and do that. And he's just saying, you cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. So you could be in either one camp or the other. But so often we find ourselves, in hindsight, I look back at my life, wow, I had one foot in with one group and one foot in the other, you know?
Yes.
And that's not a very comfortable position to be in.
No, and I'm sure there's a number of listeners that can relate to that, because we're either in it, on our way, or can reflect back on that hindsight. So as I look at Scripture, one of the things that helps me understand how I can fight against these urges, these temptations, these things that Satan suggests where my real joy comes from. And of course, the obvious one that we go to usually is the Ephesians 6, which is the armor of God. But you know, something I noticed this morning in my study on that I hadn't noticed before, because we talk about the armor of God a lot, and that spiritual armor and how to protect against some of these attacks. But it was interesting that in my study this morning, it said that the...
And we're going to come back from the break and talk about this. And he's already given out all the things right now to be able to prevent from this. And I think there are some things that still some of these guys still have... still wondering, I don't know if this is necessarily a negative thing, you know, but we're going to come back to this. We're going to get the answer of this here momentarily. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
It's hard times, but it's long days, and the enemy is right up in your face. When your back's against the ropes and you're feeling all alone, keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine, 'cause I'm never gonna leave you, always gonna see you through to the other side. Keep fighting the good fight.
back to Band Brothers Radio and fight on the good fight, the good fight. And sometimes we need to know what it is that we're fighting against here.
Yeah, what's that look like?
You know, because honestly, it's, you know, a big part of this is that we sit there and we go, okay, you know, Raul, you're talking about some things that, you know, that I've maybe felt like or it, what it's gone like. And the Bible says not to partake with stuff either what the devil has, right? And, but to partake with what God has in store. And many times we just have to look at our lives and how we've made decisions. I can only speak for myself and from my own experiences that, you know, I made decisions based on what I thought was the right thing. I wanted to be able to make people happy, my family, those that I was with, but I wanted also my satisfaction. I wanted things my way a certain. I thought that I deserved it, you know, a certain at a certain time. That again, once again, you know, I've worked hard, or I've been trying to and attempting this, and I'm giving. Now it's time for me to take. It's kind of like at the end of the day of work, sitting there, I go, okay, I want to sit down and have whatever my pleasure is, in a sense, okay, and that is what is going to satisfy this being, okay. When truly, what it comes down to is that an awful lot of those things are things of the flesh. Things that are just opposite of what God is saying, hey, don't go there, you know, don't believe in this. Over here in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. So we end up listening to those who end up speaking, luring us, okay, realizing that, hey, you know, I kind of want that. You know, you may be a part of a church or maybe you even went to church for a while or a ministry for a while, and then all of a sudden you find yourself not going there. Maybe after once, okay, not so bad. You do it twice in a row, it's going to be difficult to go that third time. You don't go that third time, it's going to be a lot easier not to go after that, okay? Whether it be church or whatever. We're talking about stuff that leads toward God, okay? And then all of a sudden now you find yourself replacing it, maybe not with God, but with other things that will satisfy the flesh or in a sense, right?
Amen.
And so what ends up taking place is now you've separated yourself, and now you start to believe what it says here, the deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, okay? And as a result of that, we find ourselves away from fellowship that is beneficial to our lives.
And isn't this such a, to me, is a revelation of these attacks, and I'll call them attacks, as you mentioned in Timothy, the deceits, the listening to the wrong voice, all those sorts of things. I got to tell you, Raul, these things are so subtle.
Yep.
that you seem like you're over the top. You know, Eric Luthe had a recent video out, and he talked about Christianity, and he described Christianity, and he says, this is not extreme Christianity. It's just Christianity. Just here's what we're supposed to be about, and we allow all these other things to come in. But isn't that kind of how we're wired or trained?
Yep.
I mean, I'm trained to get up and think about, how can I be happy today?
Yes, yes.
You know? And I usually will go to that happiness is in things of the world. And there you go. There's that stealthy part of Satan that says, why don't you go look at that new car today? Or why don't you go do that? All the things of the world. But yet you and I know, and some of the listeners know, that as you abide more in God and find joys in that, it isn't about that stuff at all. It's not even close. Even 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. So,
yeah.
Amen. These are not tangible things that, like, we can see a gun drawn on us or a sword brought above our head, but that's what's happening.
Right. And see, these are things that God gives us. Through his word, he reminds us, hey, listen, I'm not just putting you in the world and saying just hope, hope, hope. You need things to be able to protect yourselves, okay? There are spiritual things, because this is not about, you know, brute strength. It's not about having a certain type of home or a certain type of truck that is indestructible or, you know, whatever. it's about this battle is the stuff that is in the heavenly realms, okay, that actually keeps us from, that continually keeps us wearing us down over and over again sometimes, depending on how much we actually continue seeking it, you know, and thinking.
Well, are we continually seeking it, or are we just finding ourselves there?
Well, yeah, but we make decisions based on our the information that we have on what it is that we're going to do. If I know that I have a challenge with alcohol, I just drink a little too much every now and then. The last thing I want to be doing is hanging around with people who are in a bar the majority of the time or partying. You know, that's not a healthy thing. I've attempted that, and I come to find out the very hard way that did not necessarily work. I made decisions that took away my willingness to turn away from it. I gave in. I quit. I can't stop this, so I'm just going to go with it right now. I'll stop next time, next time it'll be different, you know.
Isn't that something, how we convince ourselves?
Oh, yeah.
And we don't see it sometimes. Now, the reason that you might have that thought that you just described mm-hmm. is because where's our root thought? Where can I get happy? How can I relax? How can I? And instead of going to God's Word or fellowship with others for that, we immediately go to where we've been conditioned and brainwashed, huh?
But so often, is it as believers, and that's who we talk to right now, majority of the time are men who have had a relationship with Jesus Christ and everything. Before, we never thought of the eternity. We never thought of it. We might have heard about it, but, you know, we think that, well, we're on this world. This is what we need to do. I mean, there are religions that say that, hey, you've got to get everything you can right now and enjoy it now, because after you die, there's nothing, right? But there is something. And that's where the good news from the Gospels remind us that there is an opportunity. You're going to live. You are designed and created to live for eternity, okay? And your spirit is going to be with God for eternity if you choose to follow him. But if you don't, You're an eternal being. You're going to end up in the other place, okay? So what we do on this earth really determines on where we're going to spend eternity, okay?
Yeah, and there that's a big gap to jump for most
and we
of
don't,
us.
And we don't think about
no,
that.
No, we don't.
We think, oh, this is what the truth, this is what it is right now. I need to get the biggest, the best, the most satisfying, whatever it is in my life, and do everything I can to receive it so I can be happy.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
What a lie.
And yet we continue to keep striving for those things, that whether it be the right relationship with the right woman. You know, we all sit there and go, as young men, we grow up and we see these models. And, oh, I want to marry her.
Yeah.
I want to marry her. I want her to be my wife. I want to have children with her. You know what? She's probably not going to want to have children. She doesn't want to lose her body.
Yeah.
You know? And the fact is that why do I think that I could get something like that? You know? My point being is that, again, the lure of the enemy is so cunning, so good. Does it mean that it's wrong for us to want satisfaction and to love, good things, you know?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I found that those material things or those relationship things that I was seeking through the world's avenues, that
yes.
once I really was engaged in the truth of God's word that promised there was a greater joy, okay,
mm-hmm.
I started doing those things. And you know what happened, Raul, is those things that I used to get joy from, I still got joy from a nice car but it came in an abundant way. It came in a way where God says, now you're putting me first. So yes, go ahead and enjoy this thing, but keep in mind it's secondary.
Yes.
And you would not have received that had you not, you know, pressed into me. So it's a different way of actually experiencing some of what the world has around us, because some of it is abundant. Some of it is for our enjoyment. It's just Satan mixes it in with the self, with the flesh.
Yes.
You and I are passionate about what we do because we've been there. Some of our listeners have, or they're in that place mm-hmm. where they're just not finding that same kind of joy or a fulfilling joy or happiness unless they're in the world.
Right.
So how do we change that?
And we get to our place as you were talking about there, where we get to this place of saying, I want to change, but I don't seem to be able to change.
Yes.
And in the book of, I think it's either 1 Corinthians or Romans, I forgot, at 1 Corinthians 10, I think it is. No, it's Romans chapter 10, I think it is. He talks about what I call about the do what did he. Paul talks about, hey, I keep doing these things that I don't choose to do, I don't want to do, but I keep doing them anyway. And it's the sin in me. Okay, because I keep holding on to a sin, and yet I can't get rid of that desire to keep sinning. And I don't understand, because it's my sinful nature of desiring that.
And this is a very good point. You call it the do-wah-diddy. That, to me, is chasing your tail. That is, mm-hmm. it's almost an acceptance that here's the landscape of life, mm-hmm. and all I can do is the do-wah-diddy.
Yeah.
And it's a depressing proposition. So what's the answer to do? What does he tell
us?
Well,
the answer for me what used to be to just give in to the sin.
Yeah.
Thinking, hey, it's not about, you know, I can't do it. You know, I'm incapable. Then I start looking at myself, my own life, the way that I was brought up, the things that have been wrong in my past and why things were never right. And I've always been kind of bummed out. And now as the person I am today, I'm going to make decisions based on looking for my satisfaction. Because I've had such a bum rap.
Right, right.
And really what it comes down to is that we've made decisions. And yes, there are things that have happened to us that may not have been what God had intended. But God is the Savior. He is the one that is going to be able to show us that there is another way to live. That is going to give you a satisfaction that is beyond your belief. And that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to take another break here right now, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some of these things on how do we resist the temptation, what are some of the things that can be taking place, and we're going to get to that place where Duke was talking about in Ephesians also. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's Meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hempler's.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
I believe I overcome by the power of His blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because He lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the world that never ends, because He lives.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and Duke and Raul in here talking about spiritual warfare. Now, Duke, one of the things I think is really sometimes difficult to tell, you know, because our Bible says that God disciplines those He loves, okay? And that means that there are certain things that are going to take place in our lives to discipline us. And sometimes that can be not only uncomfortable, it can be painful, that discipline. Because I don't know about you, but, you know, I think back of growing up in certain things, I had somebody in authority was trying to get my attention, okay? My dad. I'll just use him as an example. I was one of those that I was always a rambunctious kid, is what they used to say.
Imagine that.
Okay. Yeah. You don't hear that word very often anymore. They have other words for it. Probably
it's ADD.
ADD
now. Yeah.
Whatever. I was a rambunctious kid. And so what ended up taking place is I was one of those where you hear the story of the child running away from the parents on the sidewalk and does not realize that there's a street where cars are going back and forth, thinking that everybody's going to, keep him, no one's going to hit him. He's not even aware of that. And my dad stopped me and gave me a swat on the butt, right? And that got my attention. It hurt, it cried, but he told me what was going on or what could happen, right? As a result of that, that was a discipline. But that was a discipline in love. Okay, not because he hates me, not because he wanted to hit me, but because he wanted me to be aware of the danger that I could be heading toward if I had continued on. He didn't catch me or didn't stop me. So in turn, our God, Jesus, does the same thing with us. Sometimes he lets us know. He gets us, makes us aware of certain things that are taking place, and sometimes that's uncomfortable. And yet we could sit there and say, oh, I wonder if this is the enemy trying to keep me from trying to get something good. And how do I discern the difference? Because some guys can think, oh, that could be the enemy telling me to stay clear of that prostitute, and really what it is, I'm going to that.
Yes.
Because right? That's going to bring me satisfaction. I'm going to feel good. And God wants me to feel good, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well,
and not all things that surround us are all attacks from the enemy. I mean, we bring on a lot of stuff just ourselves and our own thinking. But I'll tell you, there's a mindset that I can't get away from, Raul, that we were talking about at the break. And because we have, men listeners, I think most of them can relate to this. And that is, if you're in a race and a bunch of other drivers and your wheel falls off and you're out of the race, you can't help but sit back and look at that and go, okay, how come that wheel fell off? I worked really hard for that race. I wanted to win the race. I was driving good, and the wheel fell off. So we tend to look to see, what do I need to do different to do that race better? Okay. And we Band-Aid. Well, we'll put bigger lug nuts on. We'll do this. We'll do that. Instead of maybe studying the guy that just won the race. How did you do that? That whole exercise. We're so easy to come up with our own answers and our own way of fixing it so we can run the race again.
But see, and the analogy that you use is so good because, see, so often we think of, what can I do?
Amen.
I've got this idea. What can I do? I can change my tire, but I've got to get it into where there's another tire. And where instead, why don't you work smarter instead of harder?
Amen. There
okay?
you go.
You have a pit crew. You have other men who are willing to help you out. They know you're in the race. They understand, and they say, hey, let us do this for you and do that for you. So you come into the pit crew kind of limping and everything, say, this is what's going on in my life. I need help with this. And I believe you guys know what I'm talking about. And the majority of the time, they do.
They do, yes.
And they will do what is necessary at that time. And, the book of Ephesians talks about that, that as men, we gather together, not just men, but we're talking to men primarily. We gather together, we reveal our sins together, okay? The broken wheel and so on and so forth could be a resemblance of a sin in our life.
You bet.
Okay? Reveal our sins with each other. Then we pray together so that we may be healed. We pray together so that we get this wheel back on, or maybe a better wheel or a better way of doing this. So, and the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. So now you go to it's fellowship. Jesus is all about fellowship. God is all about fellowship. He wants fellowship with us. It's directional, up and down, right?
Yes.
Straight up and down. He wants that relationship with us. And as a result of that, we're going to benefit from it, okay? And so often, we go, how do we do this sort of thing? Well, God gives us certain things to be able to do, okay? Just in James chapter 4, he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if I humble myself, he'll give me the grace, which is usually to take care of whatever is happening in my life. I can trust in God even more, right? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, okay? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So often we don't realize that by just seeking God, because most of the time when something bad or something uncomfortable happens in our lives, we go just the opposite. We're going to find a way out. I'm going to figure out how to be able to put this thing back on and get it all together. Instead of drawing near to God, who's going to give you the grace, and you will have possibly the answer or the solution, which is to seek other men to be able to fellowship together so that you can realize that you're not alone. Okay.
Well, and I had to look at the Word of God in this example of the race car and all that and the pit crew. What is the pit crew, how are they able to help fix that car? They have tools, right?
Yes.
They have a toolbox. So, you know, to me, the Bible is like this toolbox. So if I got the wheels falling off, I'm gonna have to open up the operator's manual.
Yep.
And kind of see what's going on. And then the operator's manual does tell me that I'm to pray and bring that request before God.
Yes.
So that I can enact it, because on my own power, I can't.
Yes.
I absolutely have to engage the power of God. And the only way I can do that is through prayer.
Absolutely.
But at least I got a toolbox I can go to. So if my wheels are falling off, at least I know where to go.
Amazing that you said prayer. Let's talk about, we've got a few minutes here, just a few minutes, but let's talk about this armor.
Yes, the armor
God
of God
gives us, because we're in warfare.
Yes.
This thing is on a daily basis. What day do we not awaken and not be tempted at least one time through the day?
Oh, man.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's not a day. Mm-mm. Every day comes that way, because we are created by God. We have sought God. We had a relationship with him, if we don't have one now. And we've been seeking him, but the enemy is doing everything he can to draw us away from that. Okay? So as a result of that, we need to have this protection, because the enemy is going to throw these darts. He's going to throw these lures. He's going to give us all this stuff to be able to get us off track. And we need to be able to be prepared for that sort of thing. So,
amen. It's like putting on a bulletproof vest or a shield before you go into a riot.
Yes.
I mean, if you're not protected. And something I was referring to earlier when it came to the armor of God, Ephesians 6, I think it's 11 through 18. One thing that I noticed was that all of the pieces of the armor that God tells us we can spiritually put on to withstand the attacks and not let the enemy take us down, all of them are defensive. The shield, the breastplate, the helmet of salvation, the boots of the gospel, all these things, the belt of truth, these are all offensive or defensive, except the one, the sword of the Spirit, and that is our offensive weapon.
Well,
what is that like?
You know, it's I agree that is offensive, but I know this, that any piece, if I'm in warfare, if I'm in a battle, and all I have is my helmet, that helmet's could become an offensive piece of equipment for me too.
Good enough.
If I can knock
you mean
that
it's
guy
incomplete.
Over.
Yes, in a sense,
the sword is used as your offensive weapon, but that doesn't mean that you're all done if you lose that. That means that sometimes my salvation or my righteousness or my faith, the shield, can actually be used as a offensive weapon. Because in verse 18 it says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So praying is a part of the armor.
Amen.
And prayer is offensive. It can be done from a distance away from where things are taking place.
Mm.
You have intercessors, people who pray for you. How many of you guys have not had a mother or wife, a child, or someone praying for you, knowing that you're going through a certain situation or whatever that might be, and they every now and then say, "I'm keeping you in prayer." Man, that's like having the big guns being shot and the projectile is traveling, you know, 10 miles to hit that, that enemy, right? To help keep them away.
Well, you're inland, the ships are out in the ocean, and they're shooting over your head to help. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen. I agree with that. The other thing kind of struck me, too, there, that is when I read about the sword of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In this, for me anyway, I lifted one of those swords, and I held one of those swords that Scripture talks about, that the warriors would go out and battle. These things are heavy. They're big. You know what kind of conditioning it took for a guy to be able to be out in battle and not lose his life? So that perspective told me that, yes, I've got this armor that's available to me, but I've got to be able to yield that sword. And I can only do that through prayer and through continuing to seek his word. And how do I fight this battle well? And he gives you those things. And next thing you know, that sword's not so heavy anymore. Now you can whip it out fairly quickly, and you can disarm the enemy and take him off and move on and win that victory.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I think is so often it is to know that it takes to be able to be strengthened, to be able to carry the sword, that it requires practice. It requires training. It requires that you don't do it by yourself. You do it with others, because then it makes it a little easier in being able to prepare yourselves. Amen. For what's going on. Who doesn't, even a mechanic working on a motor, it's always good to have someone who's been there before can say, hey, instead of hammering that in there, maybe if you just turn it rather than, or whatever that might be, you're being guided by someone who's been there before. So let's seek those who have been there and have been in the battle that can remind us so that we don't stick our heads up when we shouldn't and get knocked off.
Well, what battle where we're going to take this hill and the commander says, okay, Raul, you go.
Yes.
By yourself.
Yeah.
We'll kind of watch for you.
Yeah.
No, no. Yeah. You'll get wiped out.
Yeah.
But if we all take the hill together.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. And there, you've got someone covering your back, somebody watching everything that's taking place. One of the things that we always have, if you've been someone who has sought God and said, please save me, and he saved you, pulled you out of the muck and mire and put you on the rock of Jesus, okay? And he became your Lord and not just your Savior, but your Lord, okay, the manager of your life. Now you have him in you, and he doesn't leave you nor forsake you. In book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, little children, I love this, he calls us little children just to remind us, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Yeah.
And that is something that is so, you want to be mindful of that and always remember that God is in you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He loves you, brother. He created you. There's so much more about this battle. Why don't you talk to some brothers about this sort of thing on the spiritual warfare? You might get another idea or two. Anyway, brother, would you mind praying for our guys?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that the words that were spoken here today, that your spirit would move through the hearts and minds of those men, and that they would draw closer and press into you for that joy and that promise and that hope. In your name, amen.
Brother, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.